You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 5th of December 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, as it's Thursday, that means we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rusjournal.org. Matt, good morning to you. How are you doing, sir?
All right. My cable company's going to be updating my Wi-Fi system. I'm coming up with new names for my network name. I got Network Not Found. My neighbors suck. We could hear you having sex. Why does it hurt when I pee? Get off my LAN. malware repository. And John Wilkes Bluetooth. Oh, and router. I hardly knew her. Which of those you think I should pick?
I think you got one of those from Frank Zappa, didn't you? Why does it hurt when I pee? Isn't that a Frank Zappa song?
Yeah, but IP, you know, it's words there, you know.
Sorry, Matt, I'm so slow.
You gotta keep up, Sven.
I am so slow. I am not as fast as you. I was hoping you were going to bring up donations because our donations have been a little bit short this month. The Bitcoin wallet is empty. And we've got 5 servers that we need to run here at Radio Albion. So any of you listeners out there that know how to use Bitcoin and you're feeling flush, please do remember us this Christmas and send us a tip to the Bitcoin wallet. Well, as far as your wireless update is concerned, Matt, so long as it doesn't begin updating while we are actually streaming live, I don't mind. And it's going to be a good thing, hopefully, that you get an improvement on your internet. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about the NATO summit that just took place in Britain. And what really struck me about this summit mainly is just what a child Justin Trudeau is. Making rude comments about Donald Trump and sniggering in the corner there. And it was overheard by the BBC and it was a big scandal over here. I'm not sure if you saw it over there, Matt. But, you know, Trudeau just comes across as an idiot. He just comes across as really out of his depth, like a naughty child that has got the others into trouble. And another thing that struck me about this was Erdogan walking in there with his wife, who I've never seen before. She looked particularly frightening, I thought. And I really did actually have some sympathy for him. I mean, the guy's got terrorists next door to him, the Kurds. They've set bombs off in his country. And according to NATO, if one country is attacked, all the others are supposed to get in there and join them. And they haven't got in there and joined Turkey. They've joined up with the terrorists that were attacking Turkey. And Donald Trump, he was supposed to give a press conference and he didn't, unfortunately. I was looking forward to seeing a press conference from him because they're always funny. But he just let us go with calling Trudeau two-faced, which was, you know, that was good enough. That was good enough to get a laugh out of Trump, him calling Trudeau two-faced. But that was all I really took away from this NATO summit. Matt, any thoughts on it before we get into these quotes?
Well, it, you know, NATO is a dead letter, which is why they're constantly threatening Russia, trying to find some kind, and now China, as if NATO has anything to do with China. But Pompeo says this is NATO's new thing. You know, Germany is not listening to any of the American sanctions on Russia. They're not paying attention to anything the U.S. wants to say. France is back and forth. Turkey's gone. And when you have major players disappearing, you're going to have left. You're going to have what, you know, Norway, you know, and Albania, and the Netherlands. You know, it's a ridiculous thing. Then the big, you know, Germany and Turkey are the two big variables. Turkey has the second largest army, military in NATO, probably far superior to the U.S., and Germany is a substantial economic power. They're simply not paying attention to what the U.S. says. No one trusts the U.S. No one trusts her financial position, the constant threats. So NATO is a joke. And, you know, when Trump said we made great progress after the summit, I think he was being flippant. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, Erdogan certainly looked like the odd one out. He looked very annoyed and very angry at what was going on, and as if he was being kept out by the rest. I don't think he's going to stay with NATO for much longer. Well, let's have a look at some of these quotes we've got here. The first one is the NATO summit and European values. Lost in all the drama at the NATO summit is the fact that no one has managed to articulate the purpose of NATO 70 years after it was founded to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down, in the words of the alliance's first Secretary General. There was no soul searching at the summit, only bravado about the alliance's strength, unity, and inevitable expansion to Africa and China, purely in self-defense, of course, against those pesky foreigners who dared to resist being dominated by democracy. It fell upon the hapless French President Emmanuel Macron to bring up the dysfunctional character of NATO and point the fingers at Turkey and the US as the culprits. All that did was get him a scolding by Germany's Angela Merkel, and even from Trump, with zero allies coming to his defence. Some solidarity. I mean, I'm actually amazed at this, Matt. You know, all the while that NATO did actually have an enemy there, and it was formed to protect against the Soviet Union, there was never any military action at all. And then once the Soviet Union fell apart, we've seen them attack Serbia, we've seen them attack Libya, we've seen them attack Afghanistan. And, you know, you never really would have thought that while the Cold War was going on, that the only people that would actually go out on military maneuvers would be NATO, and once their enemy was down. So now it looks like they're just desperate for to come up with a reason for being. And they didn't even come up with one at this summit, apparently. Well, what do you make of this, Matt?
Well, as I've said 1,000 times, when the enemy was allegedly communism, which of course it never was, there were never any sanctions, no military threats, no military action. When the enemy suddenly became nationalism, secular or religious, in Yugoslavia, Libya, anywhere else, all of a sudden, in Russia too, all of a sudden there's threats, there's violence, there's attacks, there's expansion of bases, expansion of defense budgets, sanctions on all these countries. So, you know, obviously NATO exists now to support liberalism and to fight nationalism. They can't say that openly. So I think the purpose of NATO is very clear. It's the military arm of global liberalism and leftism. So there's no question. We'll get later to what NATO says its mission is, what the EU has said about it, and that's pretty much confirmed.
Well, you'd imagine that Trump would be a little bit uncomfortable leading the defense force of liberalism. Well, the next quote is entitled "Indispensable or Obsolete? Reheated Cold War Rhetoric Cannot Patch Up a Fractured NATO That Lacks Sense of Purpose and Vision for the Future." The uncomfortable truth about NATO is that it has had no legitimate purpose since the Cold War ended in 1989. The alliance has been seeking for a raison d'etre ever since, trying to replace the UN in the Balkans, bringing democracy to Libya, or feeding blood and treasure into a bottomless pit of despair that is Afghanistan. Its leaders don't even believe their own hype about a threat from Russia and are now trying to present China as the next phantom menace. Those leaders, by the way, face a rising crisis of legitimacy at home. Democrats are trying to impeach Trump on trumped-up charges. Macron seems to harbour delusions of Napoleonic grandeur on the world stage, even as he looks more like Louis XVI, facing echoes of 1789 in the Yellow Vests revolt. Merkel's party may not survive her retirement, as Germans push back on her disastrous policies, and in the UK, Brexit has touched off a dirty war of media smear merchants, easily rivaling the one going on in the US. And that's an interesting way of looking at it, because, you know, the two enemies that NATO say we've got, Russia and China, I mean, they're absolutely stable. They haven't got all these revolts going on from their people. I mean, it's very true here. Germany could be falling apart very soon. Merkel's party could fall apart. You've got this big yellow vest revolt. You've got America that's fighting amongst one another, the Democrats and the Republicans, and the same in Brexit. And yet you've got Russia, which is standing proud, got no revolts, no no problems there. Everybody seems to like Vladimir Putin. What's the approval rating of Putin, Matt? 80%, something like that, isn't it?
Well, if the Crimea annexation, it was almost 90%. Depending on the economy, you know, I think the lowest I've ever seen it is like 70. So it's a stable country. China, with the exception of the Western thing, and that's, been taken care of, is far more stable than the U.S. or Western Europe. The migrant invasion, the gang violence in the American South, Southwest, these guys aren't even touching on the worst parts of it. You know, Europe is disappearing. Europe is becoming a third world, at least urban Europe, is becoming a third world rape camp with no money and no purpose and no national vision. It seems to me that the elites are going to continue to close ranks and use NATO as a personal bodyguard. As things fall apart and get worse and worse. I'm saying NATO has more of a mission now in their minds than it ever did in the 60s and 70s. It is a force for the elite to maintain liberalism by force and violence. It has more of a mission despite it's falling apart. The elites see it as their personal doorman.
Well, Frau Merkel certainly seems to agree with you. She seems to think NATO is very important indeed. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said NATO is now equally or more important than it was during the Cold War, a praise being sang to a military bloc long without its arch rival and with a history of interventions. East German native Angela Merkel provided her very complimentary take as NATO braces to mark the 70th anniversary at a special summit in London. Keeping the military bloc in place today is even more in our very own interests as it was in the Cold War, or at least as important as it was in the Cold War, the Chancellor told German MPs. Because, as the Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said yesterday, Europe currently cannot defend itself on its own, she reiterated. Slightly contradicting her own words, the Chancellor admitted that the US no longer automatically takes up responsibility when it's burning around us. What do you think she means there? Europe's burning around us and why hasn't the United States come in and invaded? I mean, what is it? It doesn't make sense to me. What is she saying here, Matt?
All I could think of is, she's building up this Russia threat, burning around. I mean, that's a hypothetical, that if it burns around us, the U.S. won't be there. The average debt to GDP percentage in Europe is something like 200%. European countries owe more than they're worth. There's no money. There's no unity. There's no purpose. Trump could demand that they pay more than 2% of GDP on defense, but they could barely keep up with their interest payments on these loans. And with the migrant invasion and the low-level civil wars going on in the cities, often this is really a projection of their anger and frustration onto Russia, who is really what they would want to be. They'd love to have Putin's numbers. They'd love to have Putin's support and his successful record, but they have just the opposite. They're going to be projecting a lot of their self-loathing onto him. And they've been doing that for a long time.
Well, they are the source of Europe burning around us. They're the ones that brought the third world in and encouraged them to do what they do by giving them protections and protecting them from criticism. The next, excuse me one minute. Got a bit of a cold coming on there, needed to clear my throat. Well, the next quote that we've got here is about Mike Pompeo, as you were saying, designating China as the new threat. With the US establishment's attention firmly fixed on the impeachment hearings in Washington, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo seems to have expanded NATO's mission into the Far East to oppose the Communist Party of China. Speaking at the meeting of NATO ministers of foreign affairs in Brussels on Wednesday, Pompeo said that Our alliance must address the current and potential long-term threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party, adding that NATO countries cannot ignore the fundamental differences and beliefs between themselves and the ruling party in Beijing. The US Secretary of State framed the anti-China pivot in the context of what he described as NATO's victory in the Cold War for the cause of freedom and democracy. And I think this must be linked in with what's going on in Hong Kong and this bill that they forced Donald Trump to sign about how Hong Kong was going to be inspected every year for its privileged trade status. And if China had been found to be enacting too many statist policies there, that they would lose this privileged trade agreement that they have. And also possibly to do with the Uyghurs, because they're now trying to say that China is being mean to the Muslims, and the Democrats are trying to force another bill on Donald Trump. I hear about trying to get him to intervene with these Uyghur camps. Do you think that's the cause of this, Matt? And quite what is Pompeo meaning here?
Well, I've been talking about this now for some time. I did a whole broadcast about 6 months ago on the situation in Western China, as well as the so-called Muslim problem in South Burma. Muslims have always been the celebrated cause of the Western world. They're thin end of the wedge in some of these countries, and it's mostly mythic, of course. But China holds all the cards. You know, tariffs have gone down between Russia and China. I'm sorry, between China and the U.S. recently. That hasn't gotten a lot of press. That tension is releasing itself. Which means this is nothing but symbolism. It's not going to mean anything. The U.S. can't irritate China right now, as things are actually getting better. And the American economy, despite what the numbers say, the official numbers say, is in advanced depression and cannot function without cheap goods from China. And so not to mention the debt that China holds and the military superiority. I've gone on and on and on about the utter disaster of the U.S. military, the incompetence of the U.S. military. They can't handle a well-organized, optimistic, strong, unified force in open combat. They're being driven out of Afghanistan, for crying out loud. They're not going to be able to handle regulars, very good regulars. And remember, it's not just Russia, China. They have an alliance. Most of the world is on their side. And so this is really, if anything, this is a panicked way to deal with the collapse of their entire world system. This is really a white pill. And notice how he says Communist Party. He doesn't say China. And yet the Communist Party, which is really a National Socialist Party today, is took a third world country and turned it into a first world powerhouse in what, 15 years. So again, they wish they had that kind of record behind them. So as China rises and continues to expand, the U.S. continues to fall to pieces. And same for Western Europe. NATO is just a tool for the big banks and conglomerates to push their will onto other countries, and they're getting weaker and weaker as time goes on.
Well, that does seem to be the case when you look at what their values are that we're going to talk about in a minute. But it does seem to me that China, being a communist country, logically that would be who NATO would be against. But it's only now that they're actually speaking about them. They seem to be more wanting to go after Russia. And yet Russia is not the Soviet Union. Russia was destroyed by the Soviets. And at the end, when the Soviet Union fell, they wanted to have peace with NATO. In fact, I think they wanted to join NATO. And they said, what is the point in you having this organization? So it's morphed since then into the promotion of Pompeo calls here the cause of freedom and democracy, which as we know, is homosexual rights, transsexual rights, race mixing, open borders. All of that is now what NATO is pushing. And, that's pretty close to what the Soviets were pushing. This is the thing. NATO has morphed into something that promotes the same ideals that the communists were promoting way back there in the Weimar Republic. Well, let's have a look at NATO's strategic concept. This comes from 2010. NATO member states form a unique community of values committed to the principles of individual liberty, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. The Alliance is firmly committed to the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations and to the Washington Treaty, which affirms the primary responsibility of the Security Council for the maintenance of international peace and security. So what are those values? What do they mean by individual liberty, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law, Matt?
We're going to get to that here in a minute. But, you know, those aren't values. Those are mechanisms. You know, democracy, the way we normally use the term, is, you know, freedom of speech culminating in an election and free party systems and things like that. They're not values in and of themselves. It's competing values. Human rights, the rule of law. The rule of law is meaningless. Who makes the law? Who is writing these laws? Who's passing these laws? And what's the media's role? These aren't values. The EU says this kind of thing all the time, European values, and they give these negative statements. You know, human rights, that can mean any damn thing. But of course, these are code words. Democracy, human rights, rule of law, that has nothing to do with what we normally mean when we use these phrases. We used to mean. This is just leftism. This is just liberalism. Corporate capitalism is dedicated to ideological liberalism. All of its charitable giving, its foundations that it creates, all are the same. They finance every leftist group out there, which is easy enough to find, right on their website. And so there's no question about it. And corporate capital runs Western societies. You know, states are too indebted to do very much, and they're half privatized as it is, especially in the U.S. So these aren't values. They're code words. They're things that that everyone's supposed to agree with, because everyone simply imports their own definitions to these terms. But we'll see here in a minute with the EU's declaration of war on Russia back in March, what they really mean by these things. And that's a separate issue. And a lot of this really comes down to being anti-Russian.
Well, I think, you know, values are things like bravery, honesty, integrity, courageousness, mercifulness, charity, you know, loyalty, honor, being honorable. These are values, not democracy. As you say, Matt, these are just tools that they use. Well, let's have a look at the EU Parliament's declaration of war against Russia then. And this comes from 2019, European Parliament resolution of the 12th of March, 2019, on the state of EU-Russia political relations. Whereas new areas of tension between the EU and Russia have arisen since 2015, including Russian intervention in Syria and interference in countries such as Libya and the Central African Republic. And I'll just stop right there. I mean, Russia were the only country legally allowed into Syria. They were invited into Syria by the legitimate Syrian government. I mean, what's this about, you know, Libya and the Central African Republic? How did Russia interfere with Libya? They didn't get involved in Libya. What do they mean by the Central African Republic, Matt?
Well, Russia's offering cheap loans to Africa, like the Chinese are doing the same thing, cheap loans to these countries without the political riders that the West uses. And so they're going to the Russia and China for this money. Central African Republic, I think they're claiming that there's Russian military advisors there on the wrong side, of course. But this is absolute madness. The U.S. has interfered in all of these countries without an invitation. I mean, U.S. has interfered probably in every country on the planet right now. And this is what they're condemning Russia for. This is absolute. This is panic. This whole list of things here is laughable. It's just a projection.
Yeah, that is pretty funny, isn't it? Complaining about Russian interference in Libya. That is, that's the height of projection there and dishonesty, I would say. Russian interference aimed at influencing elections and referenda and stoking tensions in European societies. But hang on a minute, wasn't it found that Russia didn't actually have any influence on the American election? What are they saying here? Interference aimed at influencing elections and referenda. Where are they referring to there, Matt? Because it was found in America.
There's no footnotes here. These are just media-created rumors that they're just throwing one after another on here, stoking tensions. They can't deal with the fact that they've created this stuff. They've brought the third world into their countries. They've torn their countries apart for their own profit. And they're just blaming this other country that no one really knows anything about. And that's exactly what deflection is. This is a neurotic defense mechanism.
Yeah, nobody stoked more tension in Europe than the European governments themselves with all the immigration. Kremlin support for anti-EU parties and far-right movements. Well, I would love to see some Russian money being given out to so-called far-right movements, but I don't think there actually is any. I think Marine Le Pen was forced to go to Russian banks just for a bank account because they removed all banking capabilities and capabilities of doing financial transactions from her party in France. But that's about as far as I'm aware of Russian support for anti-EU parties and far-right movements. Matt, do you know anything more about this?
No, it's a concoction. And I thought their big values were democracy. Right. In this very same article, they say as their policy prescription, we're going to start supporting liberal groups in Russia. So the exact same thing that they're accusing Kremlin of doing, they're going to start doing now. But they've been doing it for a long time. They know they've been doing it a long time. These are the CNN rumors that they're listing in this angry missive. And this is an official parliament document from the EU. It's like something that you would expect from a CNN editorial.
Chutzpah. That's the word, isn't it? Chutzpah. Incredible chutzpah. Restrictions on fundamental freedoms and extensive human rights violations in Russia. The spreading of anti-LGBTI sentiment and the crackdown against political opposition. What do you mean? Extensive human rights violations. It's a human right to promote homosexuality to children, is it? I mean, the only law that Russia has got is that it's against the law to promote homosexuality to under 18s. So what are they saying here? It's a human right to promote faggotry to children? I mean, that exactly is what they're saying, isn't it?
That's exactly what they're saying here. That's precisely what they're saying here. It's left liberalism as the official corporate ideology. And this declaration, official declaration, is saying that it is, you know, that they're evil for rejecting this kind of ideology, for supporting the so-called far right, because everyone knows the far right is evil. It's almost an epileptic fit of some kind.
Crackdown against political opposition. I guess that would be Pussy Riot desecrating that cathedral there. They were apparently political opposition, according to the American media, not just some punk anarchist group that was funded by George Soros. The systemic targeting of human rights defenders, journalists, and civil society in Russia. I guess what they mean there is the banning of these foreign NGOs that were trying to subvert the country. Cyber and hybrid attacks and assassinations on European soil carried out by Russian intelligence agents using chemical weapons. Well, that hasn't been proven, and it was a Russian spy that had actually turned tail on them and given all the information to Britain. We still don't know what actually happened there. It did seem to me, and I know to you as well, Matt, to be too incompetent to actually be Russian intelligence agents that were doing that. The organization of illegal and illegitimate elections in the Donbass, the holding of non-democratic presidential elections lacking any real choice and with restrictions on fundamental freedoms, etc. Does that mean Navalny, the guy that was a criminal, that they said, well, he couldn't stand for office because he's a criminal and he's got a criminal record? I mean, how can they say that the elections in the Donbass were illegitimate? Wasn't it the Donbass people that were voting?
Russia had nothing to do with it. Russia hasn't even recognized the Donbass yet. They support them with food aid and things like that, but the militia, everything there is local. There's nothing illegal and illegitimate about it. The coup that took over Ukraine certainly was. Non-democratic presidential elections, you know, Putin is extremely popular. His opposition is supported by the CIA and these very same groups here, lacking any real choice. Well, that's what happens when your popularity is 75% and the opposition is fractured as it is. Even with CIA support, even with Soros support, Goldman Sachs support, they can get like 10% of the vote. They're unpopular because they support these very same people. These are just media rumors. These are wild accusations. Nothing here makes any sense. Nothing. Most of these things have been destroyed around this very show. The attacks, assassinations. There's no evidence given. this is just someone just took over this parliament and just this vitriol here, one thing after another. There's no evidence for any of this stuff. There's not even a footnote here. There's absolutely nothing. Most of these things have been completely debunked anyway. Yeah, the Donbass is one of my favorites because it has nothing to do with Russia. This is just a list of things that they've read in the newspapers that they think are bad because their system right now is falling to pieces.
Oh, they seem to think Russia is responsible for Brexit too. We believe that Russian state actors interfered in the Brexit referendum campaign using overt and covert means, including social media and potentially illegal financial support. This is currently under investigation by the UK authorities. They basically, I mean, that's when they're talking about RT, isn't it? Because there is an independent media network that broadcasts to the television and to the internet Russia's point of view. According to them, that's, you know, that's interfering in election campaigns. But you could say the same about the BBC. You could say the same about the American point of view that is put across there. RT is just there to provide a plurality of views. It says, we are deeply concerned about the links between the Russian government and the extreme right and populist nationalist parties and governments in the EU that pose a threat to the fundamental values of the Union, which are enshrined in Article 2 of the Treaty on European Union and reflected in the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, including respect for democracy, equality, the rule of law, and human rights. The EU doesn't even stand up for the human rights of people to communicate across borders and communicate things that the government doesn't like because they just claim that it's hate speech. You know, the EU doesn't actually stand up for the right of nationalists to criticize what's going on because they say that it's hate speech. So they themselves don't even uphold these fundamental rights of the European Union. The fundamental rights of the European Union now seem to be silencing whoever they feel like silencing. What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, I could only have a psychological response to it. It's the ultimate neurotic expression of projection. They're doing all of these things. They're losing. They're losing ground. They have no legitimacy. Even their militaries are falling to pieces. Russia is just the opposite. They're doing extremely well. And our movements, despite our lack of organization, are growing in popularity. This is anger. This is panic. This is a strictly an emotional and an intellectual vomit here. Just throwing one thing after far right, you know, parties. Well, if they're popular, you're supposed to be a democracy. That's what happens. The U.S. admits fully that the entire liberal movement in Russia is supported by them. But this is nothing more than projection. It's a psychological reaction to the fact that these societies are so deep in debt and are convulsed with violence and riots. And these other societies that they hate them because they're doing well, because they are stable, they are growing, and they're doing it because they reject the ideological consensus of the elite in the West.
Well, I think they're sort of making these accusations that Russia is funding nationalism because nationalism is having success and we're having success with no donations and no funding, and yet we are still having success. So they have to make this excuse that it's because Russia is supporting it. It can't possibly be that actually it's because nationalism is popular. Finally, they say, we are concerned about the continuous Russian support for authoritarian regimes and countries such as North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Syria, Cuba, Nicaragua, and others, and its ongoing practice of blocking any international action by using its veto powers in the UN Security Council. I mean, these are just the countries that America has got written down on a list that they want to put central banks in there. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. It's just about protecting banking. Anyway, we're going to have to finish, Matt. We're getting a little bit close to time here. So thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.